Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're watching this particular video. Welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men again. Tonight or today, I want to deal with chapter six, The Power of Covenant. Now, in this particular part of the book, this is a very exciting part of the book because here we get to really break down the inner workings of the apostolic and how God designed all of this to work. Covenant is a very powerful word, but we in the Western Hemisphere, our definition of covenant is not the same as the Eastern Hemisphere. Explained it earlier in the year, Western Hemisphere, of course, geography. Western Hemisphere is the Western thought process, United States, North America, South America, parts of Europe. Eastern Hemisphere is North Africa, that crescent area, fertile area where Jesus was born. And so it's a different culture. And so sometimes it's kind of difficult to try to bring the thought process during Jesus' time into a Western Hemisphere thought process because in translation, things get lost, understandings get lost. And so one of the words that we lost the understanding of is covenant. And I'm going to give you an example of what covenant really is. Covenant, if you heard me use this word before, covenant allows synergy. See, the reason why the word covenant is so important because God is a God of covenant. When God says something, when God does something, when God says he's going to do something, he does it. And so he operates off of covenant. Covenant is a very powerful word. It's just not an agreement. Covenant, as we're going to learn in the future, covenant eliminate weaknesses. It eliminates it takes the strength of one person to cover the weakness of another. And then that person takes his or her strength and cover the weaknesses of the other. I want to read something to you. The author did a good job in talking about covenant and providing synergy. Watch what synergy does. Synergy is the working together of two things to produce an effect greater than the sum of the individual effects. The interaction of two or more agents of forces so that their combined effect is greater than the sum of the individual effects. Cooperative interaction among groups that create an enhanced combined effect. So you're going to hear me use the word paradigm shift very often. And the reason why is because we have to shift our thought process when it comes to the church. Once again, we talked about at the beginning of the school year how we have to become God-centric rather than self-centric. Simply because our job, our purpose here on earth is to express God and express what he wants. When we express him and express what he wants, all of our individual needs are taken care of. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, and understanding that we have different parts that we play in the body of Christ, and everybody has to play their part so that when we come together as the body of Christ, then the head, who is Christ, who's the head of the church, can get accomplished what he wants to accomplish in the earth realm. And so the number one thing Satan has been using, I could take you back to Genesis 1. We don't have time to go to it, but Genesis 3, the very thing that Satan has been using for all these years is very simple. He used two tools. He used one tool to accomplish two things. No, listen to what I'm saying. He uses one tool to accomplish two things. He'd be using the same tool. He used lies. Are you with me? He used lies to divide and conquer. That's all Satan does. He uses one tool, a lie, to divide and conquer. That's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. He used a lie to divide Adam and Eve from God to conquer Adam and Eve, because he can't conquer God. He already knows that. He tried that part. So he went to the weaker vessel to try to conquer them. And and that particular time it worked. But thank God for Jesus, who died on the cross for you and I, to put us back in, to redeem us from the curse of the law, put us back in our former position so that we can be again reconnected to our Father and covenant can take place. Covenant is very important. It's just not an agreement. We just coming together. No, it is by, it's determined, it's purpose, it has agenda, it has a reason to be of being together. When two or more parties come together, they need to have a reason that's bigger than both of them, and they have to look beyond themselves. See, quick point. This is why a lot of marriages don't work in our Western Hemisphere. It's because we get married for selfish reasons. We get married because we want the other person to make us happy. We want the other person to fulfill our needs. We want the other person. No. God never designed it that way. God designed for you to be whole and happy on your own. So that when you come into covenant, marriage covenant with somebody else, you're now able to add to add synergy, so that a bigger purpose can be accomplished. So once again, Satan simply uses one tool to accomplish two things. He uses lies to divide and conquer. Because if he can divide and conquer, then that means synergy cannot take place. If synergy can't take place, things don't get done. God is a God of covenant, and he's a covenant-keeping God. When he told Abram, matter of fact, go to Genesis. Genesis 12th chapter. Genesis 12th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis the 12th chapter. Genesis the 12th chapter. Now the Lord, verse 1, the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you see where God starts talking to Abraham and telling Abraham what he's going to do. He told Abram, went on to tell Abram that you're going to have, I'm going to give you a son. Now him and Sarah are old, but God wouldn't pay attention to that. God doesn't pay attention to any of the outside entities or forces. God is only dealing with his word. He only pays attention to what he says. So he told Abram to give you a son. Now here's the thing about covenant. Every promise that we're given from God is based on covenant. Based on an agreement. Let me start here. Let's define the word covenant first so you get a clear understanding. I'm going to use an example to give you a definition of covenant so you'll never forget it. Remember now, covenant is the elimination of weaknesses. When two parties come together to eliminate weaknesses of the other so that only the strong characteristics can exist, coexist, and cause the agenda of God to be accomplished. So let me give you this example. Here is covenant. Remember now, covenant is elimination of weaknesses. There are two tribes, one called the farmers and gatherers, one called the hunters. The farmers and the gatherers were excellent at producing crops, producing vegetables, maintaining structure and order and organization when it comes to producing vegetable fruits and had the tools needed to cultivate the land. cutting trees down, moving rocks, getting the land prepared to be for agriculture. Then you had the group of hunters who were proficient at war, proficient at hunting, proficient at protection. The farmers, gatherers, had a problem. They would have their vegetables, fruit, gather together, organize it, but they would get plundered. Why? Because they couldn't fight. They were weak people because they couldn't get protein. On the other hand, you had the hunters who could hunt, could fight. They can provide all the protein needed, but they still were lacking because they couldn't farm. They couldn't produce the vegetables they needed. This is important because so you can understand, so you understand why it was necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. This is how covenants were cut. So the farmers realizing their strengths and their weaknesses. The tribe of hunters, realizing their strength and weaknesses, decided to come together with the farmers and the gatherers so that there can be elimination of weaknesses. Now, this is key. So the farmer, the chief of the farmers, the chief of the hunters would come together and they would lay out the terms of the covenant. The hunters say, we will provide fruits and vegetables. We will provide organization for your tribe. We will take care of all the necessary logistics in clearing land as we grow. The chief of the hunters laid out what they're going to provide in the covenant. We're going to provide protection. We're going to provide meat. So therefore, the hunters' weakness of not being able to have fruits and vegetables and organization has been eliminated. Remember, I told you that covenant is a covenant eliminates weaknesses. The farmers, on the other hand, weaknesses where they couldn't protect themselves and they couldn't get any protein. Those weaknesses are eliminated. So they come together to eliminate weaknesses. So now both strengths are able to cause synergy to take place. Now a society can grow. Now a culture can be built. A culture can be established because every time the farmers would get to rolling, get things going, somebody would come plundering them. Every time the farmers would get meat, they can protect, they can fight, but they couldn't cut, they go to grow something and it'd die on, they couldn't grow it. So here's what's important. Hey, watch this. The chief of the farmers and the chief of the hunters would come to a ceremony. The chief of the hunters would bring their weapons, their armor, everything they use to hunt and protect themselves. The farmer would bring all the tools needed to do agriculture, all the organization skills they have, and the clothing that they would wear. At the ceremony, watch this, at the ceremony, the farmer would give his tools, his clothes to the chief of the hunters. The hunter would give his tools, his weapons, to the chief and clothes to the chief of the farmer. The farmer will put on the hunter's clothes. The farmer, does this starting to sound ring a bell? Matthew's 11, 27 through 30. The farmer would put on the hunter clothes and hold on to the weapons, show it to his group of people. What that meant is meant that they now have the backing of the hunter. The hunter would put on the farmer clothes, have the hold the hunter tools. I mean, hold the farmer tools and show it to his people. What is telling his people? We now have access to fruits and vegetables and organization skills. So there was elimination of weaknesses. So the covenant now, they will also cut each other, put the blood in the cup. I know it's kind of gruesome, but this is how they did it. Put the blood in a cup, mix it, and each one would drink it. Mixing of the blood becomes we now are one people. We now are one people. We are no longer farmer gatherers. We are no longer hunters. We are farmer hunter gatherers. They will come to be one people. Elimination of weaknesses. This is the exact same thing that God did with Abram. See, so the first question that popped in your mind is, if covenant is an elimination of weaknesses, then when God cut covenant with Abraham, I thought God was all powerful, all knowing, and can be everywhere. So what weakness does God have? God has, listen to me, it's very powerful. God has a self-imposed weakness. And that self-imposed weakness is he cannot do anything in the earth realm without human interaction. That's self-imposed. So God won't do anything in the earth realm unless he have a human to cooperate with him. This is why he cut covenant. This is why he made Adam and Eve. He created the earth, but God wasn't going to replenish the earth. God wasn't going to remove the darkness from the earth, because he had to cooperate, self-imposed. He decided that himself, that he was going to love man and woman and empower them to be him on the earth. That's why we're made in the image of God. So the self-imposed limitation that God has put on himself opens the door for us to come into covenant with him. Now, here's the next question. What weaknesses do you have? Oh my God, where do we need to start? Matter of fact, do I have enough time in this class? Do I have enough time? If I take all the time, if I take apostle time, if I take Instructor Calhoun, Instructor Cowan, Dr. Walker, if I take Dr. Montrell, Instructor Reverend Thompson, if I take all their times, including mine, and put it together and have all that time to teach, I still won't be able to list all of our weaknesses. So our covenant with God is to eliminate weaknesses. Our covenant with God is to create destiny. It's for destiny. It's for our future. This is why God talks to us so much about in Isaiah 1 and 18, come let us reason together. When we reason together, we get the thoughts of God so that we can know what God is thinking and God can know what we are thinking and our thoughts can come together. We can come into agreement. See, agreement without covenant is flimsy. I'm going to say that again. Agreement without covenant is flimsy. See, what we're used to in the Western Hemisphere with covenant, we're used to having contracts. And most times contracts only exist because we're trying to reach a common singular goal. We're not trying to create a culture. When two businesses come together in a partnership, they're coming together for a common goal to make money. As soon as one can't make money, they renege on the contract. That's not what covenant is. Covenant is till death do us part. It's only two reasons to break covenant. It's only two reasons to break covenant. Two reasons. Number one, if one person no longer wants to follow God, if they no longer wants to follow God, you have a right to break that covenant. And the second reason is death. That's the only two reasons to break covenant. That's how powerful covenant is. There's only two reasons. One, if a person is no longer walking with God, you are allowed to break that covenant. And second is death. So these little flimsy agreements and contracts that we have in the Western Hemisphere is not really covenant. Covenant says, I will cover your weaknesses, even in your weak moments. See, that's the difference between the three sons of Noah. Two of them went to see Noah and moved in backwards because in his weakest moments, they still covered him. As compared to the one son, in that weak moment, he tried to expose him and take advantage of him. Tried to expose his weakness. In covenant, when you're in covenant with somebody, you never expose their weaknesses. You only cover them. You never use their weaknesses against them. He never uses our weaknesses against us. Any sin, he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. He never uses it against us. We have to develop that. That covenant, our covenant with God is for destiny. It's for to accomplish things. Our covenant with each other is for relationship. So this is important why you have to come in covenant. You have to come in a covenant with your leader and your fellow church members, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, here's the thing. You just can't come suddenly into covenant with anybody. Remember now, covenant eliminates weaknesses so that a common goal or agenda can be accomplished. There are some people in the body of Christ that I am in covenant with generally. Catch this now. There are some people in the body of Christ that I am in covenant with generally, simply because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We both going to heaven. We both believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, and that he rose with all power in his hand, and that we all forgiven of sins. But then there are some people in the body of Christ that I am in apostolic covenant with. Apostolic covenant means there's an agenda that God gave us an assignment, and we have that common assignment. And the only thing we have in common is the assignment. And we love each other because we have a commonality in assignment. God has spoken to that person. God has spoken to me. Let's deal with some examples of covenant. Obviously, I have a covenant with apostle. I have a covenant with my parents. I have a covenant with my children. I have a covenant with my wife. I have a covenant with my siblings. I have the covenant with them. I have a covenant with them because we have a common agenda. We come from the same household. So having the same household, we have the same agenda. So I have a covenant with them, an apostolic covenant to accomplish some things. I'm in covenant with Dr. Walker. I'm in covenant with Reverend Thompson. I'm in covenant with Reverend Calhoun, Reverend Kyle, Pastor Cowan, Dr. Montrell, with Apostle. I'm in a covenant with them. Why? Because we have the same agenda for this training center. I'm in covenant with them. So I won't say anything against any of them. You will never see me expose any of their weaknesses because I'm in covenant with them, because we have a common goal given to us through Apostle Thompson. So we have covenant synergy. Synergy. What are you saying? Name somebody. Name. I give you some weaknesses that we have. One weakness. I give you one weakness. One weakness that we all have is we can't all teach all these subjects. We're not omnipresent. We don't know everything. So we have to depend on each other to play our parts so that you, as the student, can, when you finish these 2 years, you will have a grasp of the apostolic. So therefore, Reverend Calhoun plays his part. Reverend Thompson plays her part. Pastor Cowan plays his part. Dr. Walker plays his part. Dr. Montrell plays his part. And we're all playing our part so that you can be rightfully and accurately exposed to the grace that is on Apostle Thompson. So all of us are playing our parts. That's the weakness we have. I can't teach the lives of honorable men and teach prayer. Don't have the time. So therefore, I'm in covenant. Apostle's in covenant with all of us because he's trusting us to help him accomplish what God called him to do. And so watch this. So in covenant, this is why you can't just come into covenant with anyone and anybody. Because in covenant, there is trust. In covenant, trust. Remember, our covenant with God is for destiny. Our relationship, our covenant with each other is for relationship. Understand that. So you understand that. Watch this. This is why the farmers and the hunters were so compatible because they had a common goal. They wanted to create a society, wanted to create a culture. Every time the farmers get started, they get things rolling. Somebody comes in, an enemy comes in and plunder them. Every time the farmers get to going, they get to hunting, they can protect everything, but they couldn't grow nothing. They couldn't organize anything. So the coming together eliminates weaknesses so that a common goal can be accomplished. See, marriage, the Bible talks about the covenant of marriage, the covenant of marriage, and the two shall become what? One, shall become one. Why is that? All right, let's go back to the origin of why God created man and female. The only reason why man and women were men and women were created was so that they can be together, so that one man can be one woman to accomplish an agenda from God, to do the will of God. That's the only reason why. So this is why the divorce rate is so high in America, is because most people get married without God on their mind. They get married because they're either insecure, they want to just be with somebody else, they just want to have sex, for all other reasons beside the main reason. The main reason that a man and woman gets together is because to accomplish the will of God. So this word covenant cannot be taken lightly. Covenant is a very powerful thing. Covenant, Ecclesiastes, and I'm sorry, and not Ecclesiastes, in Genesis, the second verse, the 24th verse, it talks about, watch this, I'm going to read a statement. It is by becoming fruitful that the power is released for multiplication. Go to Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter. The second chapter, the 24th verse. The very first marriage. Just see what we're going to, the very first marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. In other words, God had already told them, be fruitful and multiply, so God put man and woman together. So the apostolic is coming to correct every erroneous thought process that the world system is trying to establish. You know, I was just talking to Apostle Thompson just the other day, and I told him, I said, Daddy, you don't realize how important the apostolic is to society today. Things are so out of whack. Things are so weird. So the Bible talks about it, but it's so out of whack that the only thing that's going to be able to create any kind of organization or structure to this chaos is an apostolic church. Not just a church, but an apostolic church. A church that's after the agenda of God. The only thing that church wants to do is to express God in the earth realm. The only thing that church wants to do is to establish God's purpose in the earth realm. All the rest of the other stuff is fringe. All that. No, if it ain't about establishing God's culture, his kingdom, establish his kingdom here on earth, we don't want nothing to do with it. So therefore, you got why the breakdown of marriage, the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of the natural uses of men and women. All that breakdown comes because the church has not been in her place apostolically nor in covenant. So the apostolic is necessary to bring all this stuff back into alignment and back to God's purpose and his original agenda. Go to Genesis 1:28. Watch what it says. Genesis 1:28. It says, and God blessed them, man and female, male and female, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. So man and woman comes together for domination. They come together for domination. Yes, you can dominate alone. You can dominate alone because you're made in the image of God, but you dominate more when you come in a covenant. So this is the, in the church, we have to get covenant minded. It can't be the pastor against the pew against the pastor. See, this is why all these organizations have all these issues, because it's not about God's agenda. It's about power, the power they want over other people. In an apostolic church, everybody is powerful. In an apostolic church, everybody is powerful. Why? Because everybody is playing their part. The pastor of the house is not trying to be the center of attention, because Jesus is the center of attention. The pastor is doing what Ephesians 12 says. It's maturing the saints, perfecting the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built. So therefore, you have a strong leadership and strong people under leadership. So therefore, a culture can be created, because that culture is based on covenant. We here for a common cause. We don't all have different agendas. Matter of fact, my covenant, let me say this, my vision for my house is a derivative of the vision of Word of Life Christian Center. God is not the author of confusion. God is not going to give me a vision that calls me to do things perpendicular or across or against what Word of Life Christian Center is doing. So the vision for my family and my house it comes from. Once you find out who you're supposed to be connected to, life gets clearer, life gets easier, because you're attaching yourself to an agenda of God. When you attach yourself to the agenda of God, the agenda for your life becomes clearer. That's what covenant is about. So you can't just come happenstance, just jump into a covenant just because they can preach good, just because they make you feel good, just because you may have got a little glimpse of revelation from there. No, this is for the long haul. This is for death, to death do me part. So I need to make sure I'm not easily coming into covenant with somebody that could just easily change. Next week, we'll continue talking about covenant, because this word is very important and very powerful. It's important that you understand that you must covenant. You must be in covenant with God first. See, here's the thing. Once you're in covenant with God, all other covenants are easy to discover, because God will order your steps. God will direct you, but you have to have the covenant with him intact first. What that means, spending time with him, knowing what he's thinking, knowing what he wants, knowing how to recognize his voice, because God's voice will lead you to who you're connected to. God's voice will confirm covenants for you. So therefore, you're not guessing. Therefore, you're not wondering. Covenant, watch this. Covenant is so powerful that covenant will allow you to be connected to somebody, and God speaks to them, and they go a direction that God wants that might not be the direction you think you ought to be going. And covenant says, I trust that person can hear from God, so I will follow them and let God talk to me. Very powerful. So next week, we'll continue to chapter 6, talking about covenant. Have a blessed day.